The Agriculture and Natural Resources Appropriation Subcommittee will come to order. Will the Administrative Assistant Douglas please call the roll?
Chair Altman.
Here.
Vice Chair Bell.
Here.
Ranking Member Chambliss.
Here.
Members Abbott.
Here.
Black.
Here.
Fontana. Fontana.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Cassell.
Here.
Cross.
Here.
Gossett Seidman.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Kilbrew.
Yes, sir.
Lopez.
Here.
Overdorf.
Yes, sir.
Trunell. Chairman, a quorum is present.
Thank you. The quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Agriculture and Natural Resources Subcommittee meeting. Please remind everyone, I have to constantly remind myself, make sure your phone or electronic devices is on vibrate or turned off. Any member of the public wishing to speak, please fill out an appearance card so we will have notice that you have an interest in addressing the subcommittee. Members, we have a short agenda today. The Governor's Office and the Department of Environmental Protection are here to present the Governor's recommended budget for fiscal year 2024-2025. Are there any questions before we move on to the presentations? Okay, let's get started. We have Kim Kramer, Environmental Policy Coordinator from the Office of Policy and Budget here to kick off the presentations of the Governor's recommended budget, followed by Adam Blalock, Deputy Secretary for Ecosystem Restoration from the Department of Environmental Protection. I'd like to ask everyone to please hold your questions to the end of the presentation so we can hear the good word here. Go ahead. Go ahead, Kim.
Good morning, Chair Altman and members of the committee. My name is Kim Kramer, and I'm the Environmental Policy Coordinator for Governor Ron DeSantis. It is my privilege today to present the environmental portion of the Governor's Focus on Florida's Future budget. The agencies contained in the environmental portion of the Focus on Florida's Future budget include the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, Department of Citrus, Department of Environmental Protection, and the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. The Focus on Florida's Future budget reinforces the governor's steadfast commitment to environmental protection by recommending over $6.9 billion to the environmental agencies. These funds are largely split between the Department of Environmental Protection with almost 50% and the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services with over 40%. The Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission make up 8%, and the Department of Citrus makes up about 1% of the total environmental budget. The governor's recommended budget establishes 157 new positions and important programs across the environmental agencies. After reviewing the agency vacancy reports, and to help offset these additions, the recommendation includes the elimination of 86 positions that have been vacant for an extended period of time. This chart illustrates each agency's FTE net increase or decrease as a result of the analysis. It should be noted that none of the positions eliminated are currently filled, and the elimination of these vacant positions will not have a detrimental impact on agency operation or services. I will now hand it over to Deputy Secretary Adam Blalock to discuss DEP's portion of the governor's budget. Following Deputy Secretary's Blalock, I will highlight a few of the other environmental issues.
Mr. Blalock, you are recognized.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and the Secretary definitely sends his apologies for not being able to be here. Just had an unexpected issue at the agency come up, and he's handling that, and so I get to come and present to you today on the governor's recommended budget for the department. And so again, appreciate the opportunity to be able to do that and be here today to present the portion, DEP's portion of the focus on Florida's future budget for fiscal year 2024-2025, so we can continue our historic momentum in protecting Florida's natural resources in the coming year. Since Governor Sanders took office in 2019, and with the continued support of the legislature, we have made record investments for the protection of our water resources and Everglades restoration projects. To ensure we continue this momentum, the focus on Florida's future budget proposes over $1 billion for Everglades restoration and protection of water resources. This includes $745 million for Everglades restoration. Of that includes $614 million for a comprehensive Everglades restoration plan, or SERP, which also includes $64 million for the Everglades Agricultural Area Reservoir Project to clean and store excess water from Lake Okeechobee. In addition, it includes $330 million for targeted water quality improvements, including $135 million for the newly expanded water quality grant program, which was expanded in House Bill 1379 last year to allow for not only septic to sewer wastewater treatment, but also stormwater and other non-point source nutrient loading, and also expanded the eligibility area from BMAPs into any area that is impaired, has an impaired water body. And then $100 million for water quality improvement projects in the Indian River Lagoon, again, to also implement the Indian River Lagoon Protection Program, which was also a part of House Bill 1379. $50 million to accelerate projects to meet TM total maximum daily loads, $25 million for water quality improvement projects in the Caloosahatchee River watershed, and $20 million for water quality projects specifically in Biscayne Bay. $50 million towards our world-renowned springs. Budget includes $80 million for alternative water supply grant program to help communities plan and implement vital conservation, reuse, aquifer recharge, and other water alternative water supply projects. It includes $50.8 million to combat harmful algal blooms, invest in our innovative tech program, and provide support for the Blue-Green Algae Task Force. And lastly, includes $4.7 million for Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission Center for Red Tide Research. Thanks to the support of the legislature, Florida is one of the most proactive states in the nation in addressing resilience of our coastal and inland communities. Since 2019, more than $1.6 billion has been appropriated for projects that support the development of the statewide data set and local vulnerability assessments, grants for adaptation projects to address risks of flooding and storm surge to strengthen our critical infrastructure, and technical support for our communities through regional partnerships. As a result of these efforts, all 67 counties in Florida will soon have completed their vulnerability assessments. By identifying these vulnerabilities, counties can now address and identify those critical assets that are most in need of resilience and protection from flooding and sea level rise. To continue this project, the focus on Florida's future fiscal year budget proposes $208 million for resilience and coastal protection, including $158 million specifically for resilience, which entails $100 million for the implementation of statewide resilience projects, and $58 million for resilience planning and coral reef protection. In addition, it includes $50 million in beach nourishment funding to continue addressing Florida's critically eroded shorelines. Moving on to land conservation, this is central to our agency's priorities, and the Florida Forever program serves as the blueprint for how our state conserves our natural resources and cultural heritage. Since 2019, Florida has committed more than $1.25 billion to the Florida Forever program. This funding has enabled DEP to acquire nearly 220,000 acres for conservation, 90% of which is within the Florida Wildlife Corridor. Florida has 175 state parks, trails, and historic sites that can span nearly 800,000 acres and 100 miles of beaches. We're the only four-time winner of the gold medal honoring the nation's best park system, and this past fiscal year, our state parks welcomed nearly 29 million visitors, generating over $83 million in revenue to our state. To ensure we are able to protect these prized properties for generations to come, focus on Florida's future budget proposes $125 million for the Florida Forever program, which also includes $100 million to acquire land with a focus on protecting our wildlife corridors and water resources, $15 million for the Florida Communities Trust component of Florida Forever, and $10 million for the Florida Recreation Development Assistant Program, which provides competitive recreational grants to local governments for the acquisition and development of land for public outdoor recreation. Lastly, $50 million for state infrastructure improvements and resource management to ensure all visitors have access to these prized properties for generations to come. The prevention and cleanup of contamination by hazardous waste is one of the nation's major concerns. But nowhere is it of greater importance than in Florida, where groundwater is the source of almost 90% of our state's drinking water. The focus on Florida's future budget proposes $211 million for the cleanup of contaminated sites. This funding will allow DEP to continue its progress in assessing and remediating contaminated sites and ensure our communities are safe from the impacts of historic releases and sources of pollution. Specific investments include $200 million for the petroleum tanks cleanup program, $7 million for the dry cleaning solvent contaminated site cleanup program, and $4 million for our hazardous waste contaminated site cleanup. This concludes my portion of the presentation, so now I'd turn it back over to Kim Kramer, and then as Chair Altman, we can happy to answer any questions after that. So thank you very much.
Okay, so we'll continue with Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Within FWC, the governor recommends an additional $28.9 million to support law enforcement operations. This includes $4.7 million for 12 new law enforcement officers and investigators to increase patrols in state parks, wildlife management areas, and popular boating and fishing spots. $14.4 million to replace patrol vehicles and vessels. $8 million for aviation support, which include the purchase of a new plane, and $1.8 million for equipment to increase officer safety. The governor's recommendation includes $7 million for boating improvements, which includes channel marking, repairs of public launching facilities, and other activities to improve boating safety and increase access. And we have $8.4 million to assist with habitat management within the wildlife corridor. In addition, we have $122.3 million for forestry management within DACS. This includes $100 million recurring for the Rural and Family Lands program, $4 million for reforestation efforts, $12.4 million for the replacement of wildfire suppression equipment, and $5.9 million for wildlife protection and management operations. Additionally, the governor recommends over $20 million for the citrus industry, which includes $8 million for the Florida Citrus Research and Development Foundation to search for solutions to citrus greening and citrus canker disease, $7.8 million for the Citrus Health Response Program to survey citrus groves for pets and disease, and $5 million for the continuation of the e-commerce and digital marketing program. Thank you for the opportunity to present the environmental portion of Governor Ron DeSantis' focus on Florida's future budget. At this time, Deputy Secretary and I will be happy to take questions.
Okay, do we have any questions for Ms. Kramer or Mr. Blalock? Representative Oberdorf.
Thanks, Chairman. Just a couple questions. First of all, and this is over to DEP, on the line item that is water quality enhancement and accountability for $10.8 million. Could you just explain that a little bit more as to what that encompasses?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. And sorry, will you repeat the line item?
Sure. Slide number, I think it's 5 or on page 5. You have water quality enhancement and accountability for $10.8 million.
Oh.
Just wondering what that encompasses.
Sure. And so that is helps with implementing the and supporting the Blue-Green Algae Task Force innovative tech program. Includes additional water quality monitoring that the department does. And that's basically the primary ways that that funding is used.
Okay. A follow-up, Mr. Chairman? Thank you. When you're talking about investing in clean land and air, I guess it's two slides from here or so, or three. On that slide, you've got various amounts of money for petroleum, dry cleaning, et cetera. Just wondering about the emerging threat of PFAS and, you know, what the department is looking at for budgeting associated with cleanup for that.
Sure. Thank you very much, Chair. Currently the department is in the process of obligating and dispersing the prior funding that we got to do site assessments, and to once those site assessments are done, wherever that there's contamination, working to start first with the a lot of the like fire colleges and areas where we're seeing the highest concentrations of PFAS, and currently waiting on EPA to set their drinking water standard to then be able to implement that under the federal drinking water, Safe Drinking Water Act.
But just, thank you, sir. Just to follow up on that, so I'm just trying to be clear, in the budget, there's nothing that's allocated for PFAS whatsoever, and even though the feds have put out guidance on it, just want to be clear on that for now.
Yeah, there's not a specific line item specifically for PFAS, no.
Thank you.
Representative Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you all for the presentation. I have a couple of questions as it relates to our citrus industry. Knowing that we are a billion-dollar industry here in the state of Florida, and I'm just trying to understand a little bit better why we've dropped 17 positions in the fruit and veggie inspection enforcement. Don't we need?
Chair, we did an overall statewide assessment on vacant positions that had been, most of them had been vacant over a year, many of them 2-3 years, and we eliminated those positions. We did not take the much of the budget and salaries for those, because agencies are using that for retention purposes. So we didn't eliminate, they've been vacant for years, and we're just kind of truing up the workforce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also noticed that we have about a 31% drop in marketing for our agriculture products. Is there some reason why we're decreasing that by like almost $4 million as opposed to increasing it to encourage people to continue to use our citrus here from the state of Florida?
Chair, I believe there was a $1.8 million reduction in the ag marketing services, and that was, we took that from the DAX LBR. Their Schedule 8Bs, that when they recommended minimal cuts to the budget, that is one that we did take.
And I have one last question. And that question relates to, I want to say it's in the Alternative Water Supply Grant Program. Does that include septic tanks in and around our waterways? One of the programs that's included in there?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, the alternative water supply doesn't address septic tanks. We have the Water Quality Improvement Grant Program, Springs funding that all can go to those type of projects. The alternative water supply goes to projects to be able to basically create alternative water supplies that can get users that currently use the Florida aquifer to use other sources to help and that does provide protection to springs and surface waters that are impacted by a decrease in groundwater levels.
I'm sorry, one final. So you're saying then that in springs restoration, that's where we would find septic tank grants?
And also the water quality grant program, the $135 million is also eligible for septic to sewer projects.
Thank you.
Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple questions, if that's okay. First one, I didn't see a specific line item for the Resilient Florida Grant Program. Maybe I missed that. You know, I think that's one of the most important new initiatives that we've been funding as a state. So just wanted to hear a little bit about the rationale of why we may be decreasing those grant opportunities for local governments.
What we recommended was $157 million, $158 million for that, and that's what the trust fund supports for the Resilient Florida program. It's a very important program. We stand behind it, and this really, it's year one. We've typically been funding 3 years' worth, so I think you've seen that the amount dedicated to that has been higher than that. But the 158 is actually what the trust fund will support.
Can you clarify what you mean by what the trust fund supports?
So the money that we get for those is received from dock stamps. So the trust fund receives those dock stamps in, and that's what the balance of the trust fund is for those projects.
A question related to FWC's budget. There's currently a bill right now called the Self-Defense Act related to the taking of bears. Just wanted to know if FWC has the resources to adequately address nuisance wildlife. You know, we have a lot of new development encroaching on habitat of native wildlife like bears. Is there more that FWC needs so that they can be doing proactive work to minimize negative interactions between human and wildlife?
Chair, I would have to defer to FWC to answer that question. We fully funded their request and their LBR and our governor's recommendations.
Before we move on, is there anyone from FWC here that might want to address that question?
Chairman. Yes, so our request was fully funded as submitted in our LBR. As always, we continue to monitor emerging situations regarding nuisance wildlife and look forward to continuing to do that. We'll certainly, you know, address any issues as they arise and amend our requests if needed.
Okay, final question, Ms. Kramer. So we have a reduction in a lot of staff positions, I think around 1,000 within our different agencies. Does that make it more difficult to add new positions in the future as we see greater needs? Or what is the procedure and kind of the rationale for eliminating vacant positions?
Okay, I'm going to go back to the FTE recommendations because we did add we added 157 positions within the environment in areas that we thought were needed them and were critical. The elimination, we're trying to offset those by offsetting the ones that had been vacant. And we felt the rationale behind that was that they didn't really need those positions if they had been vacant for that long.
Okay. Representative Cassell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Going back to the Department of Citrus, it appears as though the funding for increasing the production of greening-resistant trees has been eliminated. Can you explain that rationale or why that was done?
We fully funded the Citrus Department of Citrus's request for funding this year. I know that they're working tirelessly on developing that, and I don't know that it's all been fully baked for them to ask for more money, but we did fully fund what they asked for.
Representative Abbott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the Fish and Wildlife, I want to just clarify the $4.7 million for 12 law enforcement officers. That's for increases in salaries for current staff and 12, or is it just for 12?
Chair, that is for 12. It's for 10 law enforcement officers and two investigators, but it also, the money included in that is for the equipment required, cars, all the equipment to support those 12 positions.
Okay, I think that's all the questions that we have. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here. I know the secretary called me to let me know he couldn't be here. He's one of the most responsive secretaries I've worked with, and he really wanted to be here, but unfortunately he couldn't be because of an emergency. But we appreciate the working with you throughout the process of implementing this bill, and we had a really successful year last year. I'm looking forward to another one this year as well. Okay, this concludes our committee agenda. If there's no further business, Representative Black moves, we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.